Dear friends, people are scared and rightly so. Will they find a cure in time? Am I talking about something that you can spread from person to person? Absolutely. Am I talking about COVID-19? Not really. I'm going to make a couple of parallels because that is so prevalent in the news right now as we look at Romans chapter 5. There's an old saying, one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch. Does that seem possible? It certainly doesn't seem fair, does it? That if you have one in there and you don't remove it, the others can get crudded up. Yep, because of ethylene gas. It asserts a condition that increases that malady or that problem of decay. And sure enough, it is absolutely true. But is it just a fruit that happens with? Or is it the human being? We just read Genesis 3. We heard Romans 5. Adam, and here I'll use Adam as the father of all nations, not because of the gender, but because of the one that God said, you are the one man through whom death reigned. Adam brought rotten decay to the whole bunch. In fact, David will pick it up in Psalm 51 when he says, surely I have been sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. We call that original sin. And every person and every generation and every family has to deal with it because it has arrived in each of us, in each of our clans. The formula of Concord, and that as a representative of our Lutheran confessions, has this to say about original sin. We believe, teach, and confess that original sin is not a slight corruption of sinful nature, but that it is so deep a corruption that nothing sound or uncorrupted has survived in man's body or soul. And this frightens a world that is going to rely on human beings to solve the problem because they believe that you can discover everything in time. You can find an answer. It's just a matter of being smart enough, assertive enough, or having enough time. But this is not true. There's only one who can do this. The second Adam, who comes from above. We're going to look at two things, sin entering and salvation coming. Sin entered the world with Adam. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all because all have sinned. It was there in the fruit. So there is somewhat of a combination of concepts between an apple, though we don't know that it was an apple that she took. The one bad apple. It was in the serpent's attack that Eve would not see how dangerous this lie before her. What was in her path was the assertion that there would be good. It was a partial truth, but also partial lie. And our world is filled with that still. That you can find a way, you can find a cure. And I want you to think deeply about this because I'm running into an awful lot of fear during this past week. And I think it's a good parallel so that we can understand that there's something greater as a malady behind all of the viruses and the frightful things we can catch. There's something worse that we already have to deal with. She took the fruit, ate it, gave it to her husbands. They're eyes were opened, and they did not find the wisdom they thought they would encounter. You see his wisdom? That's pretty evident in what we heard in Genesis. Here's what Adam says. The woman you gave me. How wise had he become? You see, the brokenness of the human heart, the infection was there. Yeah, I ate it, but it wasn't my fault. And the sin And its effects were so obvious in their fear of God. They hid from him, and they had had a perfect relationship before. They always wanted to see him, always be with him. And now they had to figure out, would this be good or bad? Not now, Lord. If you ever want to see that in action, just watch small children when they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. Where are they? Quite commonly behind a closed door or in hiding somewhere, right? If they have to take that fruit or that candy or whatever, they run and hide in order to cover over. Genesis 5, it said, Adam had a son in his likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. But that's really not the evidence, is it? That is the evidence of a new line to replace the first. You do remember, don't you? That the first of Adam and Eve had an immediate display of how bad it would become. Can you imagine being the first parents to find your second son dead at the hands of your first? Before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin not taken into account when there is no law. Where was the law of murder? Where did Cain have that, do not kill your brother? It was written in his heart, but he did what he knew he should not do. He became jealous. He became assertive, aggressive, and angry. It even says that the Lord warned him, sin is crouching at your door, the door of your heart. Did Cain listen? And the Lord asked him, where is your brother Abel? And he says, I don't know him. I'm my brother's keeper. Through 28 generations to come, we're going to hear how long the people of that day lived. Adam, do you remember? Lived 930 years. Oldest person in the Bible? I'm not doing trivia. I'm just connecting it with Adam. Methuselah, 969 years. And you know that through all of those long lives, what was the end result? It's in verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, was a pattern of the one to come. Those long lives, every single one of them in the genealogy ended, and then he died. Altogether, Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. So death entered through Adam and Eve, and it reigned in their thinking, and it still does today. Because I've seen evidence of it this week. When people talk about a virus overseas that's beginning to kill people, they get really nervous. Now it's on American soil. Have you watched the news? Have you read about it? I can't imagine anybody here doesn't know what I'm talking about. Because we fear death. It entered through our parents, through their parents, all the way back to Adam and Eve. A man brought his friend to the church, and sometimes this happens. I always get a little concerned, but I have to put it before the Lord, that they bring them on Stewardship Sunday, of course. You know, when the church is talking about money, that's all they hear. But this Sunday, it wasn't about money. It was a genealogy reading from Genesis. I mean, one of those we call boring, right? And the pastor read all the names, just like I said, and at each one, and he died. And quietly, he pulled the pastor over, and he said, I wish we'd have had a different reading. This is my friend. He's here for the first Sunday. Pastor introduced himself, and the man walked out. But it didn't turn out the way he had thought. In fact, the man who came was struck by the words, and he died. And he came back to hear more because, guess what? He was worried about dying. And he wanted to find an answer to the peace that appeared to be around those who listened to the word. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says, we are held by the fear of death. And I love how it shows there is a correlation to the second Adam. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, Jesus, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Have you thought about dying if you get a virus? Have you thought about someone you love? Some of you have more recently than others. And in that dialogue, that is an important question. It's one that I'm very familiar with and I'm not afraid of. But that's because I've been put in the role of telling you that because we face death, we need an answer that is not asserted or affected by any human ruler and is not attainable by any human ingenuity. It is a gift. Clearly in this passage, it says it is a gift. It is not a wage that's earned. It's not something that was accomplished except by Jesus, who was capable of doing it. Salvation entered our life through Christ. So just when Adam had left everything but death, it's just a line of people who are going to die, including us, then you hear this news. The gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace overflow to the many? Now there's a powerful analogy here right out of the original language in the Greek. The language says it's like a flowing that keeps rising until it covers everything. I suppose you'd liken it to a fire hydrant that somebody runs over, but the only way you can really get the analogy, because a normal fire hydrant isn't going to fill the world up fast, is it? It takes a while. Oh, it might fill the neighborhood up, but in a cartoon you could see them run over that, and then it just fills up, and pretty soon there's water all over everything. The concept is that from Christ, the righteousness, the goodness, the purity of his life just flows forth and rises rapidly. In fact, if it were a major oil spill in the ocean and you had some scientist who discovered a mechanism by which he could put microbes into the water and within a short amount of time. If you want to know anything about microbes, talk to Marty back there by the organ. That's how we clean water, isn't it? Microbes. So he finds a microbe that can eat the oil up, and within a few weeks, it's all gone. That's pretty cool. Or come back to a virus. Somebody finds an antidote, a vaccination. How many of you think if there was an active vaccination that appeared to be working, that you would get that vaccination? How many of you think you would? Not too many. Did I lose the others, or are you? I guess I'm done, because you're ready to go. You're there already. Oh, all right. But I do have to finish this. A cure for the toxic sin that infects our lives. You know, in Revelation 7, it says countless people before the throne of the Lamb will stand and give praise and glory and honor, because it says salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. It is evident that one person came into the world to carry the cup of mankind. It was tied to the original two, because there's a blood connection all the way through all of us. The DNA runs true. That Seth was in the likeness of Adam, but he was also given the likeness of a believing father. And so Seth became the beginning of a new line of believers. It says, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. This declaration of not guilty, I can't imagine when we, if it were to come, have to have a blood test. Are you going to be anxious about the outcome? Many of you have already faced this. You've already wondered, am I dying? Do I have it? I'm going to tell you right now, you have it. You are dying. You have a bigger problem than the virus that is currently spreading. And you need this. You need this because this is the promise of a life that goes beyond. If by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man? You have this assurance that those who fall asleep in Jesus are alive. And when I talk with somebody who is ready to die and a little bit afraid, I actually recognize that's a good thing because we should fear death. But we don't have to anymore because of what Jesus has done. There is a completely controlled outcome. And that outcome is that we will live forever. And as we connect in body and blood today, there is a cleansing that occurs. If you came in loaded with difficulty and pain and problems, if you are praying hard for someone you know and love, today let it go. Stop the fear and the worry, whether it's for a virus or something deeper, and walk away with this promise of joy, of a cure. Verses 18 and 19 say, consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, many will be made righteous. I suppose I would have to say I'm going to watch how people behave. I need to watch my own behavior. The doctors have said, wash your hands. Be careful how you cough. Well, let's do that. And be careful that it isn't you who spreads to another. But recognize in all of this that behind it, God has a promise of salvation and of life. Because the original Adam and Eve fell into this sin, and we all got it. But the second Adam, who comes from above, has brought a gift. And that's why when we walk through Lent, we see how we are in reality, but we see how God has made us and declared us to be. And oh, how good that feels. It really is the outcome of a doctor saying, you're okay. You're going to live. Amen.